In John's Gospel today, chapter 6, John 6, verses 60 to 69, John 6, verse 60, in a sermon entitled, "This is Hard." On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him." He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we thank you even for hard teachings. Help us as we open your word today to listen. In Christ's name, amen. Youth speaker Wayne Rice tells a delightful story about the Sydney Swans. Now, they're part of the Australian Football League, and for those of you who might not know, Australian football is what we usually think of as rugby. It's really a very successful sport in Australia. Lots of viewership. An exception to the success of the league for many years, however, was the Sydney Swans. Till recently, the Swans had the worst record of anyone in the league. They also had the worst attendance. Most of their home games were played in front of empty seats. But a strange thing happened. The team got a new coach. Team got a few new players. They started to win. And before long, the team that had been the laughingstock of the league was now a powerhouse. And since everybody likes a winning team, you can imagine what happened next. The stands began to fill. Thousands of people who had no interest in the team before began to attend religiously. And soon it became almost impossible to get a ticket to a Swans game. One Sunday afternoon, the Swans were playing a rival team in front of a capacity crowd. And as the TV cameras zoomed in on the revelry and the joy in the stands, one camera focused on a single man who was cheering and waving a sign that he had obviously made himself. And grinning proudly, he held up his sign for all the world to see. And the sign said, "I was here when nobody else was." I love that story. It reflects the age-old story of fair-weather fans who are with their team only when the team is winning. Matt, you're a good one. You're a fan no matter what. But here was the one fan who wanted the world to know that he was there when nobody else was. Jesus knew what it was to deal with fair weather fans, fair weather disciples. And as he began to share the difficult details of his ministry, many of his followers started to get disenchanted. In other words, he started getting into the meat of the word rather than just focusing on the milk of the word. And just a short time before, they wanted to crown him king, and now they wanted to push him into the political arena. They wanted him to establish his kingdom right now. They were not ready to wait. They were not in it for the long haul. "Come on, Jesus, get it done right now. We don't want to wait. We want it right now. Come on. If you can do it, let's go." Interesting disciples when you think about the one thief on the cross. that we have so much criticism for when he says, if you are the Son of God. And yet this really is what some of the followers of Jesus are saying here. And even his closest followers seem to be losing their enthusiasm. And this was alarming. John writes in verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And so Jesus has the 12 there, and he asks them this question. You do not want to leave me too, do you? You do not want to leave me too, do you? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. You know, who could have given such an answer except Simon Peter? Lord, to whom shall we go? I love Peter. Impetuous, excitable, sometimes speaking his mind before it's fully in gear. But he was in it for the long haul. Say whatever you will about him, he was in it for the long haul. Had his ups and downs, had his failings and his moments, but he was in it for the long haul. His commitment was not momentary. His commitment was not fleeting. His commitment was not just good only when things were going his way. And I'm sure that just like you, Peter got discouraged from time to time. I know I do. After the crucifixion, Peter was so discouraged, he just wanted to go back to his fishing nets. We can understand that, you know? After all, he felt let down. He'd invested all of his life, all of his dreams in this man, Jesus, and now he lays in a borrowed tomb. Still, his commitment to Christ never failed. He might have shown a little weakness on occasion, but he was in it for the long haul. And the reaction of the crowds to some of Jesus' harder teachings reminds me of a late-night television personality several years ago when the great missionary Albert Schweitzer was receiving international attention. And this TV personality wanted to get on the bandwagon, and he told his television audience, I'd like to be a missionary like Albert Schweitzer if I could only commute. As a pastor, I can appreciate that. A lot of church members, as well as pastors, would be willing to go to the mission field if they could just commute. It's a common sentiment among all who start off with good intentions. We see young people throughout the church across our nation go through Sunday school and then drop out of the youth program. We see young people today who graduate from high school, who are there with their parents attending church and then disappear when they have children of their own. I have seen, and you have seen, people bring their children to Sunday school and church, and then their kids get older and they, not just the kids disappear, they do too. I've seen people who have spent 20, 30 years in the church who've been in disagreement with one another, pastor, they're gone. They don't just leave the church, they leave faith. What a treasure, therefore. What an encouragement, therefore, are those of us here who are in it for the long haul. We're in it for the long haul. You've got a very special kind of faith. To live in a world like ours, to live in a nation where the challenges we face are like never before. You've got a special kind of faith because you are still committed to the Word, to the truth, to the entire Bible, and fewer people are hearing that proclaimed these days in our nation. People want to hear something specific. And they don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear that they might be doing something wrong. They need the power of positive encouragement. Pastor, encourage me. Make me feel better. Give me some positive words so I can go out and be happy. And yet we know that the answer to happiness is for the pastor to share with you the reality that if you do dumb stuff, sin that is, you are not going to be happy. And you can come into church every Sunday and hear great sermons and hear positive presentations and think, or listen to some of those preachers that only do that positivity and never talk about the sin part. Not that there's a problem, but there is more to the word and more to working in the Christian faith than the easy stuff. The Christian life, if you are going to live it and you're going to be in it for the long haul, is hard. You need to be patient when you don't want to be. You want results when they're coming, but they're not yet here. You don't want the stuff that's happening in your life. You want something else. You don't look at the blessings that are happening, which are many. You look at what you don't have and you cry. And you can't sleep. This is hard. And for people that proclaim to anyone a gospel that says, hey, send me $50 so I can actually go out on a jetliner and experience a $1 million lifestyle. You just send in your money to me, and I'll let you know you're going to feel better. I'm going to pray for you that God would just send you more than you could ever get back. I can tell you right now, you can hear him say, you give me $50, I'm going to make sure you get 100. It's in the bank. It's like playing the lottery, only it's always a winner. I mean, who wouldn't be in church if that were the case? And yet we all know that we get cancer. We all know that we get MS. We all know that we have people that leave the fold. We all know that there are things that are so distressing to us and stressing to us that it challenges our faith. We've got Jim there in the nursing home that's being honest enough to say, my faith, it's crumbling like my legs. Who's crying as we pray for him because he's feeling the reality of what it means to be human. The reality of what it means to live a life, and it was not promised easy. You didn't get promised easy. The faith of the long haul will be rewarded. Really, it's the only faith that really counts, because look at Jesus. How dare any of us think that we are going to get it easy when the person that we are supposed to follow says, take up your cross and follow me. He didn't go to the easy places. He did not proclaim an easy message. He did not experience an easy life. And yet, we say we're going to follow him? You better be prepared for what you are committing yourself to, because it is not easy. You know, life is a marathon. Life is hard. The obstacles are many. And just because you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that does not mean that your way is going to be made smoother than somebody else. We get cancer, as I said. We have heart attacks. We have strokes. We have diabetes, just like everybody else. We watch family members suffer. We watch them die. We lose our jobs. We grieve the loss of loved ones. And at such times, we need faith for the long haul. Life is not easy. But it is possible to take a bad situation and turn it around. Others have done it, and so can we. You got to remember that life is not a sprint. Life is a marathon. Some people, you watch them, and man, they can go for days, weeks, months, years, and we wonder, how is it that this sprinter, how is it that they're able to do this? And yet many of these people, when you look over the course of their life, fail and fall because they just have been sprinting rather than being prepared for the marathon that life sends their way. Success does come to those of us who are willing to hang in there when the going gets rough. You know, that's one of the worst things that can happen to some people is to have too many successes early in life. You know, you say, man, wouldn't I have liked to have this particular series of situations and all these successes that came my way? Wow, wouldn't I have wanted that? And yet I'm going to tell you that some of the people that have experienced tremendous struggle in their lives are tremendous, amazing contributors to society, to their families, and to the world. All we need to do is look at the individuals who came through, who lived through the Great Depression, who lived through times when there was nothing and yet there was everything, where family came together to make it all work, where nothing was taken for granted and you were entitled to nothing, but you helped your neighbor. And today in our society, there are so many children that feel entitled that I wonder where they and our nation are going to be when we're gone. Eventually, you get old enough that you get sick. You get old enough that you got to make sure you take care of yourself. Your parents aren't around anymore. They're not there. Eventually, you find out that life is hard. Life is a marathon. And here's the great secret, and one of the things that makes me so ministered to by Lucy's mom and dad, and something in Billy Graham as well. Here's the great secret in life. The great secret in life is not how you begin, but how you finish. Now, I'm going to participate in the Wine Glass Marathon in upstate New York again. And I was walking, I do a half marathon. And so I found an Iranian-born woman who had become a Christian, and we walked through the whole thing. And again, we were not running. We never intended to. But at the end of the race, as you're coming down to from the church end up there all the way down, she said, you know, let's run this last section. I did, but we ended it by running. But it, in some ways, we were doing that because we wanted people to think maybe that, you know, should you be walking? It's like when I did it with my sister, we just walked across. But it's very interesting. It is how you finish. And some of us are in it for the long haul. We've been through so much that we are going to finish. And we are going to finish well because we know it's hard. So many of us are good starters. We've got talent, enthusiasm. Start off with a burst of promise. But sustaining that good beginning is a problem. It's true in our commitment to Christ, our marriage partner, our work, a host of other endeavors. How are we at finishing? How are we when the enthusiasm fades, the passion cools, the numbers drop off? Can we maintain our intensity? Because that is the mark of a champion. Finishing is what faith is all about. I said already, I'm grateful for those of you who are here and who are part of the Christian faith for the long haul. Some of you have been disciples of Jesus all your lives. You've seen churches come and go, pastors come and go. You've watched churches grow with all the excitement that goes with that. You've seen churches decline. You've seen good times, bad times. But you've been there, participating, doing your part. Some of you have had your personal stumbles. You've gone through times of grief, gone through times of disappointment. Somewhere along the way, you've probably given in to a sin or two. I know I have. For a while, you've doubted God could possibly forgive you and accept you after you've let him down. But still, you've hung in there. And some of you have become disenchanted with the meaningless life that you've been living, and you're beginning to realize, come on, I just want to draw closer to God. Don't you know that when you're thankful, the things that he gives you, that you are focusing on God? For if you are focusing on what it is that he has given you, then you are focusing on him. For every good and perfect gift comes from God. And when we take our mind and focus off that, which is so easy for us to do. And I got to tell you, let me just give you a story of Weight Watchers, because I've been on that journey for a while now. And there are days when I have indulged, okay? I have pizza once a week. We have French fries mounted with mozzarella and bacon. So if you're thinking that I'm only eating veggies and I'm starving myself, you're way off base. I can eat lots of stuff. Have ice cream every so often. We just had a kiddie cone. But here's the difference. I have a kiddie cone. I don't have a small, medium, or large cone. And what I found out is that the reality is it just has to do with I just have to say yes less often and no more often. And it is rather interesting that that is part of the thought process. You know, you just got to hang in there. It's hard. It is very hard. I'm telling you right now, it is. You all know this. It is very easy to gain weight. It is very hard to lose weight. It is very hard to live the Christian life. It is very hard not to sin. This is just an example of life. It's hard to exercise. We can go over any of these particular items that are there. It is not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. It's not easy. But God's grace is sufficient for every need, in every circumstance, in every situation. Maybe there's somebody here today who's hoping to grow into the person that you want to be. The person that you know God wants you to be. You just want to grow a bit more. You know you haven't arrived, you never will. You're on the potter's wheel and you haven't arrived. He's not ready. He's not finished with you. You're kind of wondering what is this he's trying to do. You work against the potter and all of a sudden it gets wibbly wobbly on that thing and it's like, oh man, he's got to start all over. Sometimes you get hard and it's like, oh my Lord, he needs to add some water before I'm ever going to be able to be molded again. I'm trying to tell you that the disciples of Jesus fell away. You are not immune to the disappointments of life and to the reality that life is hard. You yourself could fall away. You yourself could become so disappointed and so disillusioned and so disenchanted that you would just throw up your hands and say, enough. And see, that's one of the reasons why it is so very important for you to have Christian friends that help you to be accountable. A Christian family, a Christian church where you can come together and people miss you, pray for you, bless you, kiss you, hug you, shake your hand. This is part of faith because you're going through a hard time and maybe you just needed a hug. You're not sharing it in the prayer time, but you're devastated. You're hurting. You've got something you just want to yell out, but you're more like Marion Howe than me. I let it all hang out. She, very reserved. Very reserved. It's like you don't need to tell the world your business. but you still have stuff going on. Life is hard. You're in the midst of running a marathon. You know, you place yourself in God's hands. And I pray that you, like Simon Peter, are going to say when Jesus says, "Are you going to leave me? Is this life just so hard that you're going to say, I give up? That you're so disappointed in yourself or in other people or in the church that you just say, I give up. I don't need this anymore." No, you're not saying it to them. You're saying it to Jesus. The walk is hard. The people in the church are imperfect. Some people are jerks in church as well as out. It's the truth. We're sinners gathered together here, not saints. Saved by grace in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, who will we go to? You don't want to leave too, asked Jesus. Lord, who will we go to? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus is telling us how it all ends. That's what faith is about. Life is a marathon. It's not how you start, but how you finish. Faith has to do with both having a great race and being a great finisher. The writer of the book of Revelation, the end of time, the days that are coming, put God's promise to us about finishing the race like this. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, "Be faithful. Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." Life as your victor's crown. That is faith for the long haul. That's the celebration in heaven that we all have if we know Jesus. That's the celebration and the reward we get at the end of the race. We need to finish well. It is hard right now. We're panting, maybe stopping, maybe walking, maybe resting. But we're going to get back up. We're going to start walking again. The walk will go to a jog and maybe even to a run. But the end of our race, our desire is to finish well. Faith for the long haul. The only kind of faith that really counts. Lord Jesus, give it to me. Give it to us all. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for this word. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us faith for the long haul in Jesus' name. Amen.